Northanz and Kolel, shear given by Gershon Hepner on Tehillim chapter Yud Zayin, starting at Pasuk Beis, shear given on Sunday, 31st of October 2010, Kaf Gimel Mar Cheshvan Toshin Ayin Aleph. Let's just run through Pasuk Aleph again just to get back into it. Tfilah LeDavid, Shima Hashem Tzedek, listen Hashem to righteousness. Hakshiva Rinosi, listen to my cry. Hazina Selosi, give ear to my prayer. Belosis Himimo, which I will say without, I'm saying this prayer, without lips of guile. Now, Pasuk Beis. Milfanecho Mishpati Yetze. My judgment should go out from before you. Einecho Techezeno Meshorim. Your eyes should see straightness. Or your eyes, and let's use the article, not the, this is from the Chabad website translation, may your eyes see my upright acts. Yeah, may Sharim, upright, something which is upright and straightforward and honest. My judgment should go out from before you, your eyes should see my upright acts. So Rashi explains, remember from last week we mentioned that Rashi learns, and it really comes straight out of a piece of Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuv Zayin Omud Aleph, that Rashi learns that the whole chapter, not Shabbos, Sanhedrin, Kuv Zayin Omud Aleph, Rashi goes along with that Gemara, that the whole chapter deals with the story of Bathsheba. That David was fearful, having taken Bathsheba, and she was of course married to Uriah HaChiti, and he does teshuvah, and he's worried that in the vulnerability to Klal Yisrael caused by his avera, the enemies will attack. So here David is saying, this is how Rashi learns it: Milfanecha Mishpati Yetze, my judgment should go out from before you, i.e., case dismissed. I, when I first learned the pasuk, I assumed it meant for Nachmish Pati Yetze, the judgment should come out, i.e., there should be a Psak Halacha. Yeah, and here it says Rashi, no, for Nachmish Pati Yetze, the judgment should go out and disappear. Yeah. In other words, the case should be dismissed from before you, a Necha, but rather your eyes, Techetenu Meshom, your eyes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should only see that which is good in me. Don't look at the bad side of me, just look at the good side of me. That's how Rashi learns the pasuk, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should only look at my zechiyos and should judge me accordingly, and therefore on this whole inyan of Bathsheba, he'll dismiss the case, and I should be judged as innocent, the case should be dismissed. That's how Rashi learns it. This pasuk drove me to look into a subject that has puzzled me for about 2 or 3 years. And that is the word ayin, an eye. We say in davening, v'sechezeno einenu, which is actually the same word here, right? Techezeno meshorim. Einecho techezeno meshorim. V'sechezeno einenu, b'shulchan Tzion, our eyes should see when you come back to Tzion, i.e. we should all live to see the Geula. Now that word v'sechezeno, with the tof at the beginning, and the nun hey ending is feminine. It's a feminine plural. V'sechezeno einenu. So you can see from that tefillah, v'sechezeno einenu, that the word ayin is feminine. And as you can indeed see from this pasuk, inecha techezeno mishorim, feminine plural. The word for an eye, ayin, is feminine. And I've wondered for years within Mariv, just before the Amidah, we say yiru einenu. Yismach libenu, and the word our eyes should see and our hearts should be gladdened, and the word yiru is a masculine plural. So I've always wondered what's going on with this word I, with the word ayin, and I mentioned it once to Val Dikduk, Mr. Because the sechezeno is a feminine plural, and it's going to match the noun einenu must match the verb. Yeah, so the sechezeno is going to be feminine plural. Yeah, and but yiru einenu is a masculine plural. So what's going on with this word? Tireno einenu. Yeah, tireno einenu would be feminine plural. So what's going on with this word? And I've wondered about it. And I once mentioned it to my old Dikduk Rebbe, Mr. Kai Fist. sorry, I can't make start there with Avraham Abba. Yeah. I never mentioned it to your father. No, but I did mention it to Kleifis then, who taught me for A-level Biblical Hebrew, and he said to me, well, probably the word ayin is probably one of these nouns that can be masculine or feminine. But he left it on a probably. Yeah, it was like, it wasn't, and I wasn't entirely happy with that. Anyway, so I looked it up. I looked it up in the Sefer Baruch Sha'omar. It was a shot in the dark. Baruch Sha'omar is a Sefer on Tefillah written by Baruch Epstein, who wrote the Torah Tumim V'Chomish. And he wrote a Sefer on Tefillah. It's called Baruch Sha'omar, a very sweet title. And I looked it up in Ma'ariv there, Yirimeinu. It's either in Ma'ariv or it's in Mesechta Nedarim. I thought, maybe it's a long shot. Maybe he's got it there in his Sefer, and there it was. So I was really quite chuffed. I'm told him that. No, I should tell him. So, he brings it there, and indeed he says, he brings many psukim to prove that the word ayin is feminine, and he brings many psukim to prove that the word ayin is masculine, and he says it's one of these words, and indeed it's both. It's sometimes masculine, sometimes feminine. We find it, it's the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach coming up. Machanecho echos vehikohu. Rashi there brings the word machane. It's sometimes masculine, sometimes feminine. And likewise, you have the word nefesh. It's sometimes masculine, sometimes feminine. So there are a few nouns which are sometimes masculine, sometimes feminine.
It's I, with a word in the
Bibelon.
So either
C
or something.
Yeah. I can't remember the pasuk. No, Bibelon. Yeah, I know it's brought there, but I can't remember the pasuk. Yeah. Anyway, okay. So the word, so there we have it from Baruch Epstein, that the word ayin is indeed sometimes masculine, sometimes feminine. So that's what we have here, this Einecha Techezeno Mesharim. Good. Okay. The Me'iri learns, similar to Rashi, that Milfanecha Mishpati Yetze, my judgment should go out from before you and the case should be dismissed. And the Me'iri learns, like Rashi, that they could be referring to Bas Sheva, but he also says there's a possibility it could be referring to all Averis, i.e. not specifically the Avera of Bas Sheva, but any Avera that David was concerned with. A very beautiful remez on this Gemara, on this pasuk, is brought by the Chidah, Reb Chaim Yosef David Azulai, based on a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which we did in the Rosh Shir, Monday night Shir, about a few years back. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara discusses how often is a person judged. So, of course, the classic thing is, well, we're judged by Bar Prokim Nidin Ha'olam. The world is judged at four different times for different things. And Rosh Hashanah, of course, is Rosh Hashanah for where mankind is judged and so on. But there's one opinion here in the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Adam Nidon B'chol Yom. A person is judged every single day. And he quotes a pasuk in Eov. It's in Eov, let me get this, it's in Eov, it's chapter Zion. And it's Pasuk Yud Ches, where the Pasuk says, Vatif Kedenu Livakorim, you judge us in the mornings. In other words, on a daily basis, every morning. And then the Pasuk finishes, Lirigoim Tivchonenu, you discern us. Again, it's an expression of judgment. You judge us, Lirigoim, at every moment. So based on this Pasuk, there's actually a bit of a machlokus in the Gemara. Strange machlekes. Rav Yosi Omer, Odom Nidim Chalyom. A person is judged on a daily basis. Shenema Vatif Kedenu Livakorim. You judge us every morning, so it's on a daily basis. Rav Nosson Omer. Rav Nosson goes one stage further. He says Odom Nidim Chol Shah. Person is judged at all times, constantly. Shenema, and he brings the second half of the same pasuk in Eov chapter 9, pasuk Yedches. Lirgoim Tivchonenu. You judge us at every moment. So there you have an interesting machlokes Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Nosson. At any rate, the Chidah says, points out that in our pasuk, it's talking about mishpat, milfanecha mishpati yetze. Excuse me. Milfanecha mishpati yetze. It's talking about when Hashem judges us, and the Chidah points out that the words yetze einecha techezeno meisharim, taking those four words together, gives you Rosh HaTevis, itim, ayin tof yud mem, itim, times. So we are judged at all times. And he says that's a remez to this opinion of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nosson, that we're judged either on a daily basis or on a constant basis at all times. based on that, based on this remez, the pasuk talking about judgment, mefanecha mishpati yetze, and we got this Rosh Hashanah, yetze enecha techazen meisharim yud ayin tof mem, which is an anagram of the word itim.
It could be every moment.
At all times, yes, all times itim b'chaleis, it's at all times. Yeah, good. Okay. There's a very beautiful idea which is brought by Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky on this pasuk. And he quotes, Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky, from the Dushinsky Chassidim. Yes, in Yerushalayim, yeah, that's right, yeah. He quotes the pasuk, he quotes the tefillah that we say in Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. Atozucher es kalamifol, you remember every deed, which we say this in the Bracha of Zichronis on Rosh Hashanah. Atozucher es kalamifol, you remember every deed. Vagam kol hayitzur lo nechechad mimeka. And also, no creature or no creation is lost from you or is forgotten by you. In other words, you are Kodesh Baruch Hu, you remember everything and you remember everybody. So he says, just to explain, we have two different words here. We've got Hashem remembers every mifol, every action, that's a deed, and also v'gam kol hayitzur lo nechechad mimeka, and also no creature is forgotten by you. So you have the deed, which is mifol, and you have the doer, the person who's doing it, which is yitzur. So he says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers an aveira, which a person has done, he needs to take into consideration two things. He needs to take into consideration the deed, the mifol, what was the aveira the person did, and also the person has to take into account what kind of person is he. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created us all with different drives and with the different yetzahara and a different skill base and different abilities. So every person, every Aveira can't be, the same Aveira done by Reuven is not necessarily, even if it's the same act done by Reuven and also done by Shimon, they may be two different individuals, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to judge them differently. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges by the mifol, the deed, and also by the yitzur, the person who did the deed, because he could be a very different person to a different, someone quite different who may have done the same action. So he points out that here he points out as well. It's also alluded to in the Lekel Orech Din, which we say in Shachris Yom Kippur, where it says Ledover Meishorim Biyom Din. Hakadosh Baruch Hu speaks about fairness on Yom Hadin. He deals fairly. Lehu Gedeos Badin. You must know this by heart. Lehu Gedeos Badin. Yeah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hu Gedeos, that means he looks into each person's mind. The Art School translated it as analyzes ideas. Lehu Gedeos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu analyzes our human ideas. Why? Because we've all got different plans and different ideas. So he looks into us all quite differently. So he says that here, we have the Medrash, which you mentioned last week, actually, Yuri, where David HaMelech says, B'choneini, let me get it, where the story of Bathsheba was introduced, really was instigated by David, who turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, B'choneini, please test me. Let me get the pasuk here. 1 minute, here we are. It's Tehillim chapter cover of pasuk base, where he says, B'choneini Hashem, test me, V'naseini, and test me, two different expressions, again, refine my innards, the libi, and my heart. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, explains the pasuk that this is where David turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, why is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu that when it comes to the others, we say in davening, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, what about me? There's no bracha where we say Elokei David. Why not? HaKadosh Baruch Hu replied, yeah, you know why? Because you, because I tested the obvious and I've never tested you. Whereupon David says, okay, test me. I'm here. B'choneini. And this is the pasuk, Tehillim Kaf, pasuk Beis. B'choneini Hashem Nasini, please test me. So when David said, please test me, the Medrash goes on to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, you won't make it. You're asking me for a test. Okay, I'll test you, but you won't pass the test. The idea behind that is brought in the Art Scroll Gemara, quotes it from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. I haven't got the Sefer, but he quotes it from one of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz's Shmuzen, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests a person, he gives the person the tools to withstand the test. But it's up to the person to choose to use the tools or to choose not to use the tools, and whether he passes or not is up to him. But if a person requests the test, which is not ideal, far from ideal, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you requested the test, I won't necessarily give you the tools to pass the test. So the Medrash says that when David requested, please test me, Hashem said, all right, you shouldn't ask for a test, you are asking for a test, I'll give you the test, but you won't pass. So with that, David can now turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, well, don't just look at the Avera that I did by taking Bathsheba. Look at me as a person as well. I wasn't given the chance to pass the test. So although he should never have asked for the test, and therefore Hashem never supplied him with the tools to cope, and therefore he did not cope, that gives him the let-out clause of saying, well, I wasn't given a chance to pass, and therefore please forgive me. Let me just give him 2 seconds, yeah, I'll get to the punchline. So he says, therefore, please look at me as a person as well, when judging the Avera that I've done in taking Bathsheba, don't just look at the Avera, look at me as a person. I, as a person, I was never given the chance to pass. And therefore, please allow me, and therefore please forgive me. Hence the Pasuk says 2 things. Milfanecha mishpati, this is my judgment. Look at me, don't just look at my Avera, look at me as a person. I, as a person, was never given a chance to pass the test. Okay, I shouldn't have asked for it. Having asked for it, you told me I wouldn't pass. Well, if you told me I wouldn't pass, I'm not going to pass. So look at me, mishpati, judge me as a human being as well. Which is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, Dovei Meisharim. He looks at, in fact, we've got the word Meisharim. Reb Yossi Tzvi relates it to the words in the Pasuk, Einecha Techazeno Meisharim, as we say in the davening, Ledovei Meisharim Biyomdin. Look at me, it's only fair to look at me as a person as well. As alluded to, Lehoge Deos, look at me and look into my mind. And as we say in Rosh Hashanah davening, I'll just repeat that. You remember the deed. You also remember the person.
But we do say that if a person does an Avera b'mezid, that he isn't given a chance to do teshuva. But there are.
I don't think so. When you say b'mezid, you mean, mezid, what does mezid? Mezid means, I want to speak this Lashon Hara, I know it's wrong, but I couldn't care less. A person can do teshuva for that. It's echtava oshuv. Echtava oshuv.
What it is a person says, echtava oshuv, I will do this, and I'll do a repentance off. Okay, then the person doesn't have.
Then he's not given a chance.
In a circumstance where a person does an Avera and he isn't given the opportunity to the tools to do the teshuva, but some of them succeeded. How is it that David didn't succeed?
He did succeed in doing teshuva.
Yeah,
he did succeed in doing teshuva. He did teshuva. There was a possible.
But he could.
Good.
He wasn't saying only sins in Yom Kippur will atone.
That's it. Yeah.
Mustn't say that.
That's the other half. I think of the same Mishnah. Yeah. Echtav Osher, Echtav Osher. They must be the other. Nasas Shiva. And Echtav Yom Kippur Mechaper, Inyom Mechaper. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. That's a Mishnah very near the end of Yomah. He failed the test because he took Bathsheba, and later on he did teshuva.
He succeeded in doing teshuva.
It's such a strange thing. The whole story of Bathsheba is so strange. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Well, I'll say it now. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Dalet Amud Beis, which says, it's at the very foot of Dalet Amud Beis, Avodah Zarah, Rav Shimon ben Yochai. David was never really suited for that action with Bathsheba. Vilay Yisrael Ru'in Le'usimase, and Klal Yisrael were never really suited to do the Avera of the Egel. In other words, David should never have really done that Avera. It wasn't really in Hashem's plan. That's the idea. It wasn't really in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan for David to take Bathsheba, and it wasn't really in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan for Klal Yisrael to do the worship of the Egel. But what happened? The Gemara says, Ela lama osu, why did they do these averas? Lama lacha, to tell you, she'im chata yachid, if an individual ever does an avera, omrim lo, then we can say to him, klachit al yachid, go and follow that individual. Follow David. An individual does an avera, so we can hold up David as the prime example of an individual who sinned and did teshuvah. Likewise, v'im chotu tzibur, if a congregation sins, omrim lehu, we can say to them, lechu eitzel tzibur, go and follow the tzibur. Klal Yisrael worship the egel, they did teshuvah. So in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu engineered these averus so that we should have examples of teshuvah to follow. Yeah. Either a yochid in the form of David and a tzibur in the form of Klal Yisrael.
There's a chance of
teshuvah, of course. Yeah, that's it.
It's rather bizarre, because if David ordered him to Uriah to go back to spend the night with Bathsheba, she could have told him.
Yeah,
I can't.
Yeah. You mentioned it's a big kasha. How could David tell him to go back? I don't know. Yeah. How could he tell him to go back to his wife?
How did he expect Bathsheba to comply?
Don't know. Yeah. Okay, many midrashim follow the similar lines on this word milfanecha. Milfanecha, the judgment should come out milfanecha from before you, Hashem, i.e., not from a malach, not from any other force, only from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And David says, if I need to be punished, then I would like the punishment to come milfanecha from you and not from any other source. And we see this on a few different midrashim bring the same idea. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have a malach, a pasuk at the end of Mishpatim, it's chapter Kaf Gimel Pasuk Kaf, where Hashem says, I send a malach, let me get this. Here we are. I'm sending a malach from before you, l'shmarcha ba'dorech, to guard you along the way, and to bring you to Eretz Yisrael. And then Hashem says, next pasuk, you better listen to that malach. Don't rebel. Don't rebel against him. Probably. Why? Because the malach can't forgive your sin. I can, he can't. So there are many midrashim along similar lines. That David saying milfonecha mishpati yetsay. I would like my judgment to come from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and from absolutely no other source, only from you, because you can override every malach. That's that's not from a malach, not from an enemy, not from an army, but only milfonecha from before you. Yes, it is obvious. Yeah, it's obvious. Yeah. But that's what, and the Medrash says it. Yeah, it is obvious. Yeah. Now, there's a whole conversation that is brought in the Zohar, and I haven't seen it in the Zohar specifically, but I've seen it quoted on a Pirush Antinu called Eretz HaChaim, which is written by Rabbi Avraham Chaim Cohen, who is a grandson of the Sma. And apparently a malach came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu he gives the malach the name is Duma, which is a malach in charge of one of the malachim, or a malach in charge of Gehenna. So
Duma.
Oh gosh, how interesting. Doomed. Duma. Those going down to Duma, the Malach in Gehenna. Yeah. Yeah, the Duma. Yeah.
Duma.
The Russian. That's it. The Malach. yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah, the Rashi Palmer. The Malach came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with claims against David and said, this man should die, David should die for taking Bathsheba. Whereupon HaKadosh Baruch Hu replies, well, David knew that Bathsheba was preordained and predestined to marry him, and she was reserved for it from the time of creation, from the Sheshes and Mebereshes. And that's also echoed in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuzayin Ahmed Aleph, that she was preordained for David. Because don't forget, the kings of David, and eventually Mashiach, came via Bathsheba. She was the mother of Shlomo HaMelech, who continued the Melucha. So, and the Malach replied to Hashem, ah, yes, that may well be that she was preordained for David, but David never knew that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu replied, no, he took Bathsheba, but it was mutter for him to take Bathsheba because she was divorced. As we said, how the soldiers always gave a get to their wives before they went out to battle. Whereupon the Malach replied, still not good enough, he's accusing David all the time. He should have waited 3 months. A woman between two marriages has to wait, you may have chana, days of discernment. Because if you wouldn't wait 3 months, and she became pregnant very quickly, you wouldn't know, is this a pregnancy from the first husband or pregnancy from the second husband? You actually would have a paternal issue. You wouldn't know who the father is. So the halacha. Oh yes, of course, didn't think of that. So we have this, so always after if a woman loses a husband or is divorced from her husband, she has to wait 3 months, and I believe the halacha is as well after chalitza they wait 3 months, and I think that's a dinja bonon, but I'm not sure. But anyway, you wait 3 months till she can remarry. So the Malach turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, ah, but David is still at fault, he should have waited 3 months, and he didn't wait. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu replied, no, you only need to wait 3 months if there's a possibility that she's pregnant from the first husband. But her first husband, Uriah, has been out at war. He hasn't been home for that length of time. So it's absolutely, everybody knows that he hasn't been anywhere near his wife, and therefore there's no chance of a pregnancy from Uriah. With this conversation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu supported David all the way. The Malach is accusing David, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu replied in defense of David. So David turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Milfonecha Mishpati Yetzer. I want my judgment to come from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I can see you're one of my supporters. You're defending me, and I want it to come from you. That's how he learns it. Yeah. So the Eretz HaChaim, Sefer Eretz HaChaim, quotes this Zohar and explains that's why David says, Milfanach, I want the judgment to come from you. Yeah. In the Sefer Das Sofrim, he quotes the Posuk, after David took the census of Klal Yisrael, which again he shouldn't have done, he's punished for it, he's given a choice of different punishments. And it's brought up, he had to choose which punishment it was going to be. It was God HaChuzeh who came to him, who came to David with a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that David had to elect which punishment to accept. It's brought in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vayomer David al God, we say in Tachman, Tsar li ma'od, nipnlon na v'yad Hashem. Let's fall into the hand of Hashem, ki rabim rachamav, because his mercies are great, or v'yad Adam, in the hand of man, ale pola, I'd rather not fall. One of the options was to fall through an enemy would attack. And David says, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to fall into the hands of an enemy. Enemies don't have rachmanus. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us directly, then I know it'll be a punishment with rachmanus. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did punish directly. It was a plague of Dever. A plague befell Klal Yisrael. And the plague was issued with tremendous rachmanus. It was much shorter in duration than was foretold, and it was a plague, but it was done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was done with Rachamim, as indeed David requested. So likewise here, because of the census, that's right, he counted up close, exactly. So therefore,
what happened with the
I think, oh, I've learned it, and now I'm just struggling to remember. The punishment lasted a very short time. According to some, it lasted the amount of time between dawn and sunrise. And according to another view in the Medrash, it lasted the amount of time it takes between shechting the korban tamid and offering the blood on the mizbeach. We're talking a very short amount of time. And I think the number, but despite that, it's recorded, oh, I hope I got this right, 70,000 deaths in that tiny amount of time. Something like that. But then the Medrash says that, according to one opinion in the Medrash, it was Avishai ben Tzruya only who died. And he was such an amazing tzaddik that he is considered on a par with 70,000 people. So, whichever way, I mean, it's devastating, right? It's a devastating thing, 70,000 deaths. But that still was a punishment done with Rachmanus. It was issued by HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. So again, David says, Milfonecha Mishpati Yetzeh. I want my judgment to come directly from you, because I know it'll be with Rachmanus. Like he said on that occasion as well. Yeah. Yes, another idea of Einecha Techezena Mishon, your eyes should see that which is upright. We daven that if a person is due for a punishment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we daven, and this is David as well davening here, that, okay, I'm chayev a particular punishment for a particular aveiro, delay it. Let's have a stay of execution. Don't punish yet. Why? Because I may well still increase my zechuyos, which could tip the balance that I will never ever get that punishment at all. So if I need to be punished, okay, I need to be punished, I accept that, but at least please delay the punishment long enough to give me a chance to maybe prove myself and attain some zechuyos, which I will be, I won't deserve the punishment after all. And this is brought again by the Das Sofrim, Sefer Das Sofrim, that he's saying, please look at my zechuyos, einecha techazena meishon, look at my good things, and give me time to perform those good things. So therefore, don't punish me just yet. Yeah. Yeah. Sefer Zera Yaakov, which my son Yaakov Chaim just bought for me, on Tehillim, Sefer Zera Yaakov, he found it. Where did he see it? He saw it. Oh, he was in Stamford Hill at a shop that sells secondhand for him. He's like that. And he found this Sefer Zera Yaakov. I'm sure he looked for a Sefer on Tehillim for me. And in the Sefer Zera Yaakov, he quotes that Gemara that we mentioned in Avodah Zorah, Dalat Amud Beis, which says that the whole chait of the Egel was engineered, and the whole chait of David and Bathsheba was engineered so that we could uphold David and Klal Yisrael as examples of paragons of Teshuvah. And he says, and that's what he says here, Einecha Techezena Meisharim, look at my Yashar, I mean well, the whole incident only happened so that I can prove myself as a Baal Shuvah and be in its servant as an example.
In every generation, a bit of the hate of the ankle is passed on. Do we say the same of David's?
I haven't heard that we do. I don't think so. No. Oviyom pokti ufokadati. It's a prosik. Well, actually, I've got it down here somewhere. Yeah. Oh, it's in the next prosik. It's in the next prosik. Oviyom pokti of prosik in kisis. Hashem says, whenever I punish, I'll punish a little bit more for the ego. But the fact is that the chait of the ego was forgiven. Salachti kidvarecha. It was forgiven with a price tag of punishments. But the chait was still forgiven, yeah? But I haven't heard the same with David's. Yeah. Oh. The Yalkut Miamloes, oh yes, the Yalkut Miamloes on this Pasuk quotes a Medrash, and it's also brought in Devarim Rabbah, Medrash Rabbah on Devarim Simen Hei Os Ches, which says that we have a mission in Sanhedrin. We actually did that mission very recently. I think we did that mission actually 1 week ago, or maybe last Monday. It's Perek based, Mishnah based in Sanhedrin. Hamelech lo don, velo donin oso. A king may not judge, and he may not be judged either. And it's learned from a number of psukim in the Gemara, but the Devarim Rabba, Medrash Rabba, and here the Alkem Emnos quotes it from our pasuk. Milfanecha mishpati yetze. David says, my judgment should come from you. I.e., a king may not be judged by a human court. Can only be judged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David is a melech, and he says, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu should judge me. So it's derived from this pasuk. That halacha, by the way, that a king not judging and not being judged, only applies to Malchei Yisrael, who came from Yerovam and the other kings of Yisrael, who ruled in the northern kingdom. But Malchei David, Malchus Beis David, they could judge, and they could also be judged. Again, it's learnt in the Gemara, it's learnt from Pesukim, which makes it a little bit difficult because David is Melech David himself. The Medrash Rabbah learns it as a source for that halacha. Melech lo dom lo don in oso. Just by the way, although a melech from the line of David may judge, that only applies to a regular Beis Din. He may not judge on the Sanhedrin HaGadolah. Why not? Because there's a rule in the Sanhedrin that you are not allowed, when you give your psak may not contradict the psak of anyone greater than you. Now, because of that, they gave their judgments, they gave their decisions, the 71 members of the Sanhedrin gave their decisions when it came to giving up psak halacha, they gave their psak in ascending order of greatness. And they sat in that shape as well. They sat in their order of greatness as well. So the last person to give the psak would be the greatest one of the Sanhedrin. However, we've got a bit of a problem, because supposing the melech is on the Sanhedrin and gives his psak, no one dare contradict him. And you can't contradict him, you can't go against his psak. If the melech gives his psak, you're not allowed to contradict him. And therefore, therefore the melech, although he can judge, a melech of Beis David can judge, he may not judge on the Sanhedrin. There, he's restricted from that. He could well be the last. No, because he might not be the greatest one in Chochmah. The greatest one in Chochmah. But if the melech is on that Sanhedrin and he gives his psak, and then it's your turn to give your psak, you dare not go against what the melech said.
He may not be the best one in
Chochmah, but he's certainly got his godol, right? He's greater than anyone else, at least in the respect of being a melech. And if you can't go against him. A very interesting shaila in halacha, which I remember hearing as a child, I don't remember who told this to me, that you've got 71 people on the Beis Din, on the Sanhedrin, 70 on the Sanhedrin. Supposing there's a capital case comes up before them, and the first 70 give their psak, and they all paskin his chayav, and this is going to be chayav misa. And now it's the turn of the Av Beis Din, right? The Rosh HaSanhedrin, it's his turn to give his psak, and he's the last one, number 71. If he gives the psak that he's chayav misa, you'll have a unanimous verdict that this man is chayav misa. And there is a halacha that if all 71 paskin that he's chayav misa, we actually let him go. We let him go. Why? Because we suspect foul play. We suspect bribery. Yeah? Therefore, when it comes to the Rosh HaSanhedrin, all 70 the first 70 have all said chayav. Now it's down to him. If he feels that in his own mind that this man is chayav, if he says chayav, he'll be potter.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's got a very easy solution. All he has to do is to say, I paskin is potter. Now, you've got 70 votes that he's chayav, one vote that he's potter, we follow the majority in his chayav misa, which is the true feeling of the Rosh HaSanhedrin. But he's not allowed to do that. He must express the psak that he truly feels. And if he feels he's chayav, he's got to say chayav, even though that's in the full knowledge that will result in the man being acquitted. If he were to paskin against his own true feelings, yes, it would be less satem mishpot. Yeah. Yeah.
Just so, I mean, if all 71 say he's chayav, then surely it's an open and closed case. No. He is chayav. Why say you've been bribed?
Because we suspect. We suspect foul play. We have no proof, but we suspect foul play. Interesting, yeah?
What is the point of allowing a melech to sit on the Sanhedrin?
He may well have the chachma, but we don't let him.
We don't let him because if he says, then it's got to be.
Yeah, that's the reason.
So there's no judgment in that case by others. It's just judgment by him. So it's not the proper Sanhedrin.
Yeah,
that's why he doesn't go on the Sanhedrin. That's why he's not there.
He can be on the Sanhedrin, but what's the point?
Well, we're saying we don't let him on.
We do not let him on. No. We don't let him on. Right. Let's come on to some. I'll just put out one thing from the Mossad Rav Kook on Tehillim. It says a very beautiful thing that was so obvious. Should have occurred to me. Milfanecha mishpati yetzei. The sequence of the words is a bit odd. You would have expected it to say, mishpati yetzei milfanecha. My judgment shall go out before you. Or maybe, yetzei mishpati milfanecha. But by having the verb first, but by putting milfanecha right at the beginning, it underscores it. It's like putting it in bold italics. Milfanecha mishpati yetzei. My judgment shall come out, but only from before you and from no one else. Which backs up all these midrashim where David says, "I want you to be the judge and no one else. I don't want my punishment to come from anyone else. I don't want my judgment to come from anyone else." Okay, let's come to let's deal with some of the midrashim on this pasuk, and we will manage it before 10 o'clock, and then we can close. And we will. I actually foolishly thought we might do pasuk gimel as well, but no way. Right. Okay. Medrash. The medrash which comes from a medrash called Agadas Bereishis Perek Tes. And it's brought here, it's quoted in the green, in my green book of Medrashim here, Otsa Medrashim on Tehillim, which says, he says, Omar David, I beg of you, Atodunosi, you judge me, Valtim Sireni, don't hand me over, Lebide Malach, Velebide Sorah, Velo Gedud, Velo Othman, don't hand me over to a Malach or a Sorah or an army or a Othman means another kind of angel. Why? Mipnei, because Shehin Kulon Achzorim. They're all sadists. Avo, but, Atar, you Hashem, Dun Osi, you can judge me. Milfanecha Mishpati Yetzei. My judgment should come out from before you. That's that Medrash. I mean, we've seen that Medrash a few times. Oh, let me show you a few other amazing Medrashim.
I'm very close to the Ophanim, yeah.
Is there a connection? What's the connection?
I think that if you have a look in your first kind of little bit, it'll explain this.
Why are they rounded? Is it to do the shape round?
No, I think there are wheels, underneath them.
Underneath the Ophanim? Really? Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Therefore only you.
Exactly.
Sorry, judge me. Because you have
Rachamim.
You
should judge me
only.
Okay. Now, let me show you some of these Midrashim. I'm now quoting from my beautiful red sefer on Midrashim, which is a sefer called Tehillim in Midrashi Chazal Mvorim. It's a liquid of Midrashim. So the Midrash says that. Reb Levi. This is a Midrash. It comes from the Yalkut Shimoni on Tehillim, and it's Letan Os or Remez Tofresh Ayin. That Omar Reb Levi explains the pasuk. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to David, "You've done this action with Bathsheba. Stand trial before the Sanhedrin. You should stand trial." So Leich Medun Lifneim, go and stand trial. So David replies, "Rabbanu Shalom, I can't go to the Sanhedrin because they will never accept bribes. I don't want to stand trial before the Sanhedrin The Sanhedrin won't accept a bribe. They're not allowed to. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you do accept bribes. So I'd rather be judged by you because you accept bribes. What's going on? Hashem accepts bribes? Yes. Teshuvah and Nasim Tovim. These are the bribes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept. And the Medrash goes on to quote the Pasuk, which says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept a bribe while he's still judging a person while the person is in Olam Hazeh. Once a person arrives in Olam Haba, it's too late for bribes. Because it's too late for Teshuvah and Nasim Tovim. Teshuvah and Nasim Tovim are the bribes we can offer in Olam Hazeh. Once a person arrives in Olam Haba, cannot offer such a bribe anymore. Oh, another Medrash. Brought in the Zohar Chodosh, Tikkunim Chelek Beis Ayin Tests on the base. I haven't seen it. I've just seen it in this quote. That the word life. Oh, I'm sorry. No. That's on the next pasuk. Sorry, my mistake. That's on the next pasuk.
Based in Judge King.
Hamelech lo don v'lo don anisa. According to that Mishnah, a king cannot be judged by a Beis Din. According to that Mishnah, did it ever happen? A king's judged by a Beis Din? I can't remember. Yes, of course. Yeah, Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Gemara brings a story of a king. Who is the king? Yanai HaMelech stood trial, and the Beis Din were intimidated by him. He was an intimidating figure, and they didn't really judge the case properly, and they were punished for it. The Beis Din were punished for it. Halacha lemaisa, can a Beis Din judge a king? I don't know. Now, 1 second. Let me just go to... Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, just coming back to the coming back to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuzayin Amud Aleph, where David says, "Please test me because I want to be. I would like a brocha after my name. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, but not Elokei David. What about me?" And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "I've tested them. I haven't tested you." So whereupon David requested the test. The Medrash. There's a medrash which follows very, very similar lines, and it's quoted here in the Sefer, that David requested the test, and the medrash adds that in fact there is a brocha with David's name in it. And I don't know what it was, and the medrash goes on to say, it's the brocha which we say at the end of the Haftarah, Mogein David. Baruch Atah Hashem, Mogein David. Yeah, Mogein David. And based on that, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Chapter Gimel, which we've already learned, Pasuk Dalet, V'atah Hashem, and you Hashem, Mogein Ba'adi, you are my shield, Kerodi, my honor, Meim Roshi, and the one who lifts up my head. So in fact, in the end of it all, there is a bracha which we recite, citing David's name in the chasima of the bracha, in the closing bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mogein David. And, let me just see if there's... Yeah, that's it. Let's close there. We've done that. And that's it for Pasuk Beis.
The
Is the Mogein David even secular state of Israel? The Mogein David is the emblem of the Israel.
If you're talking about the shape of the Mogein David, I have to tell you what Rabbi Cooper Zechanan Recha said. That the word, what's the connection of this Mogein David? The shape of the Mogein David is two interposed triangles. I said this in the introductory Shir on Tehillim about 100,000 years ago. Two triangles interposed. Why? Because it was David's signature. Why? Because the ancient letter Dalud was written as a delta shape, two triangles, yeah? And therefore the primary letters in David's name, David, Dalet, Vav, Dalet, are two Dalets. Those are the main consonants, which are represented by two triangles. These two interposed triangles give you the shape of the Magen David, which is why it's called the Magen David. As told to me by my brother Yecheskel, as told to him by Rabbi Kupa Zeichet HaLuvracha. Thank you very much.